Teens Reaching Harmony. Welcome to my What's In It For Me podcast. If you have listened to some of my previous podcasts, you know that I focus primarily on children's behaviors. Since behavior is universal and is influenced by the same consequences, that is, reinforcement, reward, punishment, and so forth, I thought I'd take what we've learned thus far and apply the laws of behavior to teens. Your teens or your students may be completely compliant with your requests, and you may not have a great need for the approaches we'll discuss shortly. But whether you are a parent or a teacher, it doesn't hurt to have a few tricks in your behavior toolkit that you can pull out when needed. Let's review before we examine a few examples. We know that consequences either maintain and increase the behaviors they follow, as when one encounters something rewarding upon the expression of a behavior, or decrease the behaviors they follow, as when one encounters something unpleasant upon the expression of a behavior. How quickly the consequences presented after a behavior also influences how effective the reinforcing or punishing consequence will be. Reinforcement comes in two forms, that is, positive, when something desirable is presented to the individual after a behavior, or negative, when something unpleasant is removed after a behavior. It is the same with punishment. Punishment can be positive or negative in that something aversive is presented after a behavior, such as a lecture or extra chores, or something is removed after a behavior, such as a privilege or activity. Our behaviors have been shaped by these simple laws. Behaviors that are reinforced continue and often increase in the future, and behaviors that are punished diminish in the future. So, what does all of this have to do with teens? Teens behave according to the laws of behavior. For example, if you tell your teen that he can have the car on Friday night if he will mow the lawn and take out the trash during the week, if the car privilege is truly reinforcing to the teen, the lawn will be mowed and the trash will be removed. This is a great reinforcement contingency. If you tell your teen on Monday that if the lawn isn't mowed by Wednesday, she loses car privileges for the weekend, and the lawn isn't mowed by Wednesday, car privileges for the weekend are removed. This would be a great example of a punishment procedure, that is, the loss of the existing privilege. In the first example, the teen is being positively reinforced for mowing the lawn and taking out the trash. In the second example, the teen is negatively punished by the removal of an existing privilege. The teen loses the privilege of the use of the car on the weekend. Punishment procedures are interesting in that if one uses punishment, it can set up a situation in which the punished individual knows you mean business and then works to prevent that punishment from occurring in the future by adhering to the request. This is negative reinforcement. The individual learns from the mistake and works to avoid the punishing consequence in the future. You may think, great, punishment works. It definitely can work, but there are incidents in which punishment procedures are abused. Punishment should never be physical, and punishment often creates sneaky behavior in which the punished individual avoids engaging in the punished behavior when the enforcer is present. Behavior analysts work to avoid punishment and prefer to use reinforcement to increase desired behaviors, such as mowing the lawn by Wednesday. This desire to encourage behavior using reinforcement requires specific changes in the way the request or demand is made and how the contingency is carried out. A contingency must always be expressed ahead of time. For example, if you want your teen to mow the lawn by Wednesday, you should state what must be done and the reward for doing it on time days before the deadline. You must make sure your reward is truly desirable to the teen. If the teen has free access to the car multiple days per week, or free access to cell phone use, tablet time, and so forth, there is no incentive for the teen to comply with your request. You must withhold access to the item or privilege that you wish to use as a reinforcer, except when the individual has met your contingency. Always pair the reward with praise in order to foster self-confidence and self-esteem in your teen. Over time, this will develop the intrinsic motivation to please you and to do well, and you may be able to thin the schedule of reinforcement over time. In other words, not offer tangible reinforcement for the demand. Stay true to your word. If you promise a reward for a chore and then don't give it, or don't give it when you stated that you would, you are actually diminishing the effectiveness of the reinforcer. Now, many parents have multiple chores they would like their teens to perform on a weekly basis. Behavior or contingency contracts can be especially helpful in negotiating the terms of the agreement. I love behavior contracts because they take the struggle out of demanding compliance. Believe it or not, behavior contracts are written agreements between people in which the desired behaviors are spelled out and the desired reward is also spelled out. Typically, the components of a behavior contract include specific statements of behaviors that are expected for the week, specific reinforcement for meeting those expectations, a chart for recording whether the expectations are carried out, and sometimes a place for how well the expectations are carried out, and identification of the reinforcer and when the reinforcement will be delivered. Behavior contracts are negotiated between the people involved, and agreement is reached on what is expected and what is earned. For example, imagine a teen who, quote unquote, forgets to do the chores the parent has requested during the week, and this leads to lots of yelling and arguing. This is unsettling to the two involved and to the entire household. Now, enter the behavior contract. Negotiations are held between the teen and the parent regarding reasonable chores to be completed each day when the teen arrives home from school, and a specific reward is identified, along with when it will be delivered. This can be daily or weekly. Suddenly, there are no more conflicts. The terms are written in black and white. To earn the desired reward, the teen must complete the chores as outlined. If he or she does not, the reward is not presented. The reward is not taken away, it is just not earned, and that outcome rests on the shoulders of the teen. That result is not punishment. He or she has just not met the terms of the agreement. This works great at home as well as at school. If a teacher has a student who is not doing homework, arriving on time for class, is using a cell phone during class, is bullying someone, is using foul language, and so forth, a behavior contract can be negotiated that sets out the expectations and the desired reward. Thank you for listening today. If you have questions or you have a topic that you'd like me to discuss, please email me at harla@understandingyourchildsbehavior.com. I always maintain my listeners' confidentiality. And if you have a moment, please check out my website at understandingyourchildsbehavior.com. I look forward to hearing from you.